We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, baby, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Very nice to be at the meeting of the 1791 Society last night in Lackawanna. I love getting down to Lackawanna. A lot of listeners in Lackawanna. Jim Hanley was there. We did the show on wind turbines with Jim a couple of weeks ago. And then there was a fellow whose drink I almost knocked out of his hand. I felt horrible, and I really should have made good on that one. But I owe you a drink next time I see you. But anyway, we were there to watch Mayor Deb Rogers of Williamsville, do her presentation, and it was a lot of fun. I had to bail because I had three lovely ladies waiting for me in Williamsville, and when a gentleman has three lovely ladies waiting upon him, a gentleman does not keep those three lovely ladies waiting. However lovely the mayor of Williamsville may be, it was necessary that I decamp, but I did hear everything Deborah had to say. Anyway, welcome to the show, and we have another doctor with us this hour, and if you're just joining us, one of the things that I've been trying to do through the situation here with COVID is present a number of different medical viewpoints. We've had Dr. James Harith on frequently with Kaleida. We've had Dr. Jane Orient on frequently with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And we've also had on with us Dr. Peter McCullough, who was born at Kenmore Mercy Hospital, same hospital in which I was spat from my mother's loins. And we invite your telephone calls for Dr. McCullough, who's very, very well known, at 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Doctor, right before we get to telephone calls, I want to ask you about the latest information we have on the vaccine and pericarditis and myocarditis.
Well, Tom, thanks for having me on. I think first we have to get it out of the way. The Dallas Cowboys are out, and boy, the Bills look strong in their run for the playoffs. So we've got to fully get behind the Bills down here in Dallas, Texas.
No, I certainly hope so. And if they came out on fire like they did against New England, I kind of feel sorry for Mahomes and the Chiefs. But consistency has been one of the issues for the team. Hopefully they're peaking at just the right time and won't let up.
The other thing I got to say is that introduction reminded me of how cold it gets in Buffalo. Tom, I don't know if there's enough layers to protect you from the temperatures. I heard down in Dallas, we're about 29 degrees. Now it's sunny. It's probably in the 40s with no more football to watch for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be focusing on the Bills. Now, importantly, the myocarditis after vaccination is now a giant issue. We have over 21,000 cases in the United States. The FDA strictly warns parents against this. So if on Pfizer and Moderna, there is an official warning, parents need to read the warning. It says the vaccines cause heart damage. There's an estimate now out of Schraff and colleagues from Kaiser indicating that the peak age range for myocarditis is between 18 and 24. So it's college-age kids. that are really at the highest risk are consenting on their own. Now, men, it's 90% men, 10% women. So it runs in young men. Paper by Rose and myself in Current Problems of Cardiology, the age risk extends up to age 50, even though the peak age is 18 to 24. About 75% of the kids that are hit with myocarditis get hospitalized, and this is an important point. A paper by Trong and colleagues from the University of Utah at Salt Lake has shown this. 97% of these kids have significant heart damage by MRI scanning. So our fear is that the heart function may not completely recover. A prior paper prior to COVID suggests from Shopi and colleagues that 13% will have permanently damaged heart. And then this week we heard about Olympic marathoner, Swiss marathoner Fabienne Schrumpf, who has said she's out of running right now because of myocarditis. She doesn't know when she's going to be back, and she's been triple vaccinated. So it's clear the vaccines caused myocarditis.
Well, see, it's clear to you, but doctor, what are the things that we've talked about this before? We've talked about it with Dr. Orient, and I find it personally frustrating, is the idea in medicine that all of these bad results that people are reporting after having received the vaccine are nothing more than non-scientifically proven, non-empirical, anecdotal stories. And I'll give you an example. You might have actually talked to this caller on my show. Gentleman named Ron. His wife got the first vaccine and suffered a heart attack right after. Got the second vaccine, had a series of mini strokes right after. And yet, what would be to me a common sense causality to the physicians is nothing more than an anecdote. At what point do you, as a physician, say, hey, I don't need 1,000 cases of this? This seems to me to be pretty cut and dry.
You know, from a regulatory perspective, a drug safety perspective, anything that occurs within 30 days of administration of a drug counts. Doesn't matter what people think of it. If it occurs within 30 days, it counts. If there were 5 deaths within 30 days of administration of a drug, it would get a black box warning. Doesn't matter if they're related or not. And if there was about 50 deaths, the drug would be off the market. These vaccines have had over 20,000 deaths associated with it, far more than 30,000 permanently disabled individuals after the vaccine. They are so far over the line. When we apply causality, we use what's called the Bradford Hill criteria causality. So the answer is, these are the criteria. Is it a big effect? Yes. Massive numbers of people are dying and being injured by the vaccines. Number two, is it related in time to giving the vaccine, like the two vignettes you get? Yes, it's tightly related to the vaccine. Is there a biologic explanation? Yes, the vaccines cause the body to produce the spike protein, which is the lethal part of the virus. So yes, it's biologically plausible that the vaccines are lethal or damaging in people. Next criteria, is it internally consistent with other non-fatal events like stroke, heart attack, myocarditis? Yes, it's all internally consistent. The last criteria, is it externally consistent? Are we seeing it anywhere else? And the answer is yes. We see it in the yellow card system for the UK and the UDRA system in the EU. And we have over 1,000 papers published in the peer-reviewed literature describing these vaccine injury syndromes and deaths. So it's clear now.
See, the reason I bring this up, and I'm having a real hard time understanding this, is there are people, especially now healthcare workers who are facing the booster, who may not want the booster. And they believe that they have demonstrable physical ill after effects from the first two vaccines. They don't want the booster. And they're trying to reconcile why the physician will not write a medical waiver with the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. What do you tell these people?
Yeah, they need to really force their doctors into it. The doctors will have to be forced. The patients may even have to report them to the medical boards, but they will need to have fulfillment of their Hippocratic Oath. We know from shot one to shot two, there's an 80-fold increased risk of side effects, and then for the boosters, it goes up from there. So each successive shot is going to get worse for patients. So if they've already had a bad reaction, the good clinical judgment says don't take more of it. That's just good clinical judgment. If a patient, by the way, had a bad reaction from a medication and we told them to stop the medicine, we wouldn't say, listen, take more of it. You have to take more of it. Of course we wouldn't. The same thing applies to the vaccine. Patients will need to force their physicians to do these exemptions and then take the next action steps against them.
That's like the old joke. Doctor, it hurts when I do that. Well, don't do that. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us on WBEN. Your telephone calls. I love this guy, as I love Dr. Jane Orient and Dr. James Harris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get some questions for Dr. Peter McCullough on WBEN, because I enjoy your questions, because I enjoy our little brainstorming sessions. Here's Evelyn in Buffalo. You're on WBEN. Evelyn.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know if the doctor can answer this question, but I have the factor V genetic mutation, which lends itself to a predisposition for blood clots. So I don't know if it's safe to take a vaccine. And also the same has been said for COVID, that COVID causes blood clots. So which is the lesser of two evils in this situation?
The answer to that is the lesser of two evils is to take your chances with COVID. COVID-19 is now mutated into the Omicron variant, which is far less invasive than the prior variants. And it's very mild and it's very brief. We're 98% Omicron, according to the CDC, and it's easily treated with nasal washes using povidone iodine, dilute betadine, washes in the nose, sniffing it back, and then spitting it out, killing the virus up in the nose. And then nutraceuticals and supplements. Rare patients need prescription drugs, and even more rare than that would be monoclonal antibodies. With the vaccines, there are published papers showing patients who have factor V Leiden and other blood disorders, coagulation disorders, are far more likely to have a potentially fatal blood clot with the vaccination. So patients in my practice, I advise them away from participating in the vaccine investigational program for the United States.
Evelyn, what does your own doctor say?
My doctor says he thinks I would be fine with either of the two that are the mRNA. However, just don't take a Johnson & Johnson, is what I was told.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for the phone call on WBEN. Let's go to Bill in Eden on WBEN with Dr. Peter McCullough. Hello.
Hey, Tom. If you could make a note, I don't want this to be my question, but I know Dr. McCullough gives 5 excellent things he wants people to use as a takeaway maybe later on in the show. But my question is, just in general, and to make use of Dr. McCullough's specialty, I wanted to ask in general as of today, is it your opinion that the COVID vaccines are actually harming more people than they're helping? And can they do things like hurt the immune system of people that can't fight off things? But the question I wanted to ask you, Doctor, here is regarding Dr. Stephen Grundy, who in November presented the findings of his study that he had an abstract that was called mRNA COVID Vaccines Dramatically Increase Endothelial Inflammatory Markers and Acute Coronary Syndrome Risk as measured by the protein unstable lesion signature cardiac test, a warning. And he had a study of 566 men and women, and he found that after they had the vaccines, their risk of heart attacks or other severe coronary problems more than doubled. And they did this by comparing the pulse tests from earlier to after. And where earlier they had a 1 in 9 chance, they had a 1 in 4 risk of bad events.
Okay, doctor, increased risk of heart attacks. I think that is the question.
Well, let me just tackle the first issue about are the vaccines doing more harm than good. You know, that is the opinion of the European Union right now. So the European Union and the World Health Organization came out with a statement this week stating that the vaccines are doing more harm than good, that boosters are potentially weakening the immune system, and they're advising dropping boosters and looking for some future newer vaccines down the road. So that came out of the European health agencies today. Now, regarding the study of the polls, the biomarker study, that suggests that the vaccines biologically could trigger heart attacks and strokes. It doesn't prove it, but that rise in the biomarkers that occurs acutely, the blood coagulation factors and inflammatory factors, is worrisome. We don't like to see any elevations in those in patients with coronary heart disease. So that paper on polls makes me worry, particularly about patients who have prior heart blockages or stents taking the vaccine.
All right. We are talking, obviously, with Dr. Peter McCullough on News Radio 930 WBEN. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I asked this of your colleague just in the last hour, but could Omicron be the magical version of COVID that brings COVID out of the news? In other words, it's so contagious. Could this be basically nature's own vaccine? I've heard that postulated.
It's true. You know, 2 weeks ago, Dr. Martin Makary from Johns Hopkins was on Sean Hannity Hour, and then I followed him on Laura Ingraham, and we both said the same thing, that Omicron could be Mother Nature's natural booster. And the reason why we say that is there's a paper by Khan and colleagues out of South Africa that show that once people develop Omicron, they get immunity not only against Omicron, but also immunity, back immunity against Delta. It closes the immunologic door on Delta. So because Omicron replicates so much more quickly than Delta and actually creates immunity to Delta, we basically overnight shut off Delta in the United States and had Omicron. Omicron is such a mild syndrome because the virus does not invade the body so easily that, in a sense, it could be Mother Nature's booster. Many of my patients, by the way, who had the vaccine or they've already had COVID-19 and now they've had the Omicron infection, they basically tell me it feels like a booster shot. Feels mildly febrile, just feel a little sick for a few hours and that's it.
We are talking with Dr. Peter McCullough. Your telephone calls at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly for the... good stuff. It is Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN. Welcome to the show. Dr. Peter McCullough is with us, and your questions about basically all things COVID, all things Omicron, all things vaccine, as we wind this down. And the, what to me is very fascinating is the, I don't want to quite call it a consensus yet, but the seemingly growing body of opinion of educated physicians that Omicron may actually be one of the best things that has happened since the beginning of COVID, because it may very well be conferring natural immunity that reaches across the spectrum of the various variants of COVID without your having to get a vaccine. Do you, Dr. McCullough, do you care to assign a probability to that yet?
I think the probability is very high. That, in fact, Delta will not come back. Alpha, Beta, Gamma will not come back. We're 2 years into this. There hasn't been a resurgence of previous variants. What happens is the virus mutates and we move on to new variants. So we don't know if Omicron is the end and there won't be a new mutant on the horizon that's going to replace it, or will this be it? It almost seems like it's a fireworks. And you ever go to a fireworks, Tom? I remember going to a Delaware park and and going to these fireworks on 4th of July. And you know how they do the finale at the end where it's just they just throw everything in there?
Sure.
It almost seems like Omicron is the finale. We don't want to be premature on this, but we don't see anything on the horizon. And our Omicron peak is almost over with. I think we only have about 10 days left in it. So.
Well, you mentioned Delaware Park. The place to be was Sheridan Park in Tonawanda by the projects because the mosquitoes were the size of hummingbirds, and you would leave there basically a welter of mosquito bites every July 4th.
Sheridan Park, and Tom, where was that great place for the frozen yogurt?
Frozen yogurt? Are you thinking about Anderson's on Sheridan Drive?
Anderson Custard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. See, and this, we'll have to send these things to you in Dallas. I mean, we get Ted's and Anderson's, and you've got the sixth floor museum and the school book depository to drive by, and a marker of American history. Let's go to David in Buffalo on WBEN. David, you're on with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hello, Tom. Hi, Doctor. Now, I have a question about, January 2nd, a buddy of mine, he's from Canada, he spent a couple days here. He tested positive for COVID prior to going to Canada on the 2nd. I was worried, like, I was going to be infected. January 3rd, I went for the five-hour test by a local pharmacy here, and it came back detected. Okay, detected, look it up. Okay, more than likely, if they detected it, so I'm positive. No symptoms whatsoever, nothing. So everything was good. I'm feeling well. I kept my distance 5 days, wore a mask after that. So on the 17th, I went and got a test, and it just came back this morning inconclusive. Now, I jabbed that swab way deep in my nose to make sure there was a good sample. Now, is it possible that the test is screwed up by the antibodies? Do I have antibodies? I'm not sure.
No, it was 18 days after the original test. Doctor?
I'd say you're negative, that these tests need to blow strongly positive for you to really take it as a positive result. And please don't jab it way up there. I have my personal communication with Dr. Eric Hansen in East Texas. He's seen six fractures of the cribriform plate, that sensitive bone up in the top of your nose between your nasal cavity and your brain. Do not do the deep swab. And by the way, don't let anybody else do that. Control the swab. Listen, if you have the virus, there's going to be lots of mucus, and you'll easily get it on the swab. So I call it a negative and move on in life.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Anybody else get the heebie-jeebies just thinking about that plate being broken through? I don't even mind being nasally scoped with the flex scope. That's nothing but that Q-tip, man. That gets me. Here's Frank in Amherst on WBEN. Frank, you're on with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say to begin, I have a stent and I had a terrible heart attack, and I had the two vaccines and the booster, and I'm fine. So I just wanted to say that. The other thing I was going to say is there's also growing evidence, and it's being looked at. Nobody knows any of this stuff for sure, that the antibody resistance that may come out of getting an infection, whatever the infection is, does not last. So that's another problem with, you know, being on a radio show and putting out some of this information when it's not proven. I'm looking at the CDC website, and it says that people who get the virus are 16 times more likely to have a myocardial inflammation problem than people who do not get the virus.
Now, Frank, what is your background?
Well, so the impact, what I'm trying to say is that it's very important for people to try to prevent from getting this virus. And getting the vaccines is something that can help an awful lot.
Right, but I'm just curious, man. I've got a Dr. McCullough on. He's a medical doctor. Are you also a medical doctor?
No.
Okay. Doctor, you want to address what Frank has to say?
The reports of myocarditis with the virus have not been proven. There's a paper from Washington University of St. Louis by Joy and colleagues that did detailed heart scans, EKGs, all the other assessments of people with community-acquired COVID-19 respiratory illness and found no myocarditis. What's in the literature is an elevation in cardiac troponin in adults were sick enough to be in the hospital in the ICU, about 50% have an elevation of troponin. That also happens with pneumococcal and other forms of sepsis. That's not myocarditis. I'm a cardiologist, and I can tell you the difference. What happens with the vaccines is the vaccines cause an explosive level of myocarditis, and that's the reason why the FDA has official warnings on them. So I want the listener to understand the vaccines are far more dangerous than the respiratory infection in terms of myocarditis, because it happens with the vaccines and it doesn't happen as a clinical syndrome with the respiratory infection. In terms of antibodies, you know, the antibodies themselves are things that can be measured in research studies, but they don't confirm protection of the vaccines against the virus. We have data from Yang Zhu and colleagues showing that despite vaccination, there was only 20% protection against Delta. And now a paper by Hansen and from the UK Public Service Agency that there's zero protection with Omicron, zero. And that's the reason why the vaccine manufacturers have basically said that they're moving on to new vaccines that could come out in March. And I think that's the reason why the EU and European health agencies have dropped vaccine boosters.
Frank, anything else from you as we've got Dr. McCullough on?
I want to ask him if these studies exist that he's making reference to, what are the statistics that you have of people who had a heart attack as a result of getting this inflammation, as a result of getting a vaccine? Do you have some numbers on that if you're going to...
Remember, the myocarditis is not a heart attack. So the myocarditis, and the papers to quote are by Hoag and colleagues from the University of California at Davis and by Scharf and colleagues from Kaiser Permanente. You can find these on the internet. That's myocarditis. Scharf found the myocarditis rates highest in 18 to 22-year-olds, and the rate was between 400 and 500 per million. That's far higher than what the CDC had estimated at 63 per million. And now the most recent analysis from Truong and colleagues from the University of Utah at Salt Lake showing 97% had heart damage by MRI. That's completely different than your situation when you have heart stents. You're older, I assume, and you have heart stents. The risk there would be atherosclerotic occlusion of the stent. And the biggest risk there is kind of the immediate implantation of the stent. So I think once you're further into it and the stent's in place, that the risks are different.
As you know, Doctor, I've heard this argument before from other people calling in to take issue with somebody such as yourself who is a physician, who offers footnoted comments and sourced comments, and then you are accused of giving out false information on a radio show when you can back up what it is you are saying. If it's frustrating for me, how much more frustrating is it for you?
You know, I'm just giving out the data. You know, I understand the caller's emotions. The emotions are you want to think that the vaccines are doing something good for yourself because you took the risk of taking the vaccine. That's just a natural human nature, and no one likes to feel duped. I tell you, my patients are so furious that they're getting COVID-19 anyway after taking the vaccine. And clearly patients are furious when they get damage from taking the vaccine. And I think it's just the human nature that you signed up, you took a research vaccine, and you hope for the best. And I hope each viewer for the best. But I'm just giving straight information. Go ahead and look up all the papers. They're all there for you on the internet.
Yeah, as you know, I was vaccinated, and I got COVID-19, and I plan at this point on getting the booster. Is that a mistake for somebody with advanced cardiovascular disease?
The boosters appear, Tom, to not have any coverage from Omicron. So the boosters at this point in time are considered obsolete. I think that's the reason why in the EU they're dropping them altogether.
So I'm better off getting Omicron.
Well, you could get Omicron as a superimposed infection. It's going to be mild, and it's going to be very brief. And that's how, you know, that's what patients are reporting. I had it myself, and that's what it feels like. And it's just that, you know, taking a booster to try to cover the original wild-type virus, which is long gone at this point in time, is just not supportable.
Very, very interesting. Let's go to Patty in Elma with Dr. Peter McCullough at 803-0930. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dr. McCullough. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
He's awesome.
As brief as I can, I do follow Dr. McCullough, and I listen to Tom every day. Hope his voice gets better. Anyway, I had COVID last January, I had antibodies drawn March of 21, and I had them. I just had them redrawn because I'm coming up on an annual with my primary, and they are very pushy with the vaccine. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it, but I want to have my guns loaded. So I had these antibodies drawn about 2 weeks ago, and it says in the report I don't have any, and I don't think they did a T-cell analysis. So I just want to be educated when I go in for this visit.
Okay, before we have the answer, this is kind of an in-depth question, and I don't want to short sell your time. So hold on, if you would, Patty. Let's get back to Patty with Dr. Peter McCullough, who wants, I guess, some backing in her arsenal of facts when she has her discussion with her primary doctor, who's going to try to talk her into something she doesn't want.
You know, the main reason to measure antibodies or a T-detect test at this point is, in a sense, to document a prior SARS-CoV-2 infection, not for immunity's sake, but for risk's sake. What we know is that when someone has already had COVID-19 infection and then they take a vaccine on top of that, that the risks of side effects with the vaccination injection skyrocket, including getting put in the hospital. And Tom, this applies to you now, since you've had COVID-19 and you're contemplating a booster. Getting a vaccine once you've already had the respiratory illness is really asking for trouble.
Yeah, you might have talked me out of it just because I'm better off getting Omicron than I am getting the booster. That's the conclusion I've drawn from what you've said.
But you have no opportunity to benefit from the shot. And there's an opportunity of being seriously harmed. It's that straightforward. It's not an option of taking the respiratory infection or not. If Omicron comes up, so be it. But if it doesn't come up, okay, too. Just we have to consider the decision of the shot. Does the shot have any benefit or does it have risks to it? Once somebody's recovered from COVID, the scale tips in terms of simply having risk without benefit.
Patty, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it really does, and I appreciate it. And I just one side note, I wish Dr. McCullough was still in West New York because I might be in need of a new doctor.
I've heard that a lot lately.
But thank you so much.
All right, Patty, thank you very much. And Dr. McCullough, we mentioned this with Dr. Orient before, but I've heard from so many healthcare providers, doctors like yourself, nurses, PAs, LPNs, you name it, and they're all extremely irritated at the idea that the governor of New York State wants to force them into having a booster. And they're short-staffed because hospitals fired well people who did not want the vaccine. And now, to make up for staffing shortfalls, they're calling back people who have active COVID to work on patients. When the healthy people were let go for not getting the vaccine, they're bringing diseased people back to work with patients. It makes no sense.
It couldn't get worse, Tom. You know, the employers cannot force their employees to be in vaccine research. All the vaccines are still investigational. They're still under research. When you sign the consent, you're agreeing to research. No one can be forced into research. That's what happened in Nazi Germany, and we have to fight against this. Vaccination is purely voluntary. That's it. It can only be voluntary.
Let's go to Teresa in Buffalo and WBEN. Teresa, you're on with Dr. Peter McCullough.
Hi, Dr. McCullough. Thank you for taking my call. My son, he is 17 now, and he's an athlete. He was born with transposition of the great arteries and ventricular septal defect, and that was corrected. He still has a small hole that the patch couldn't get up high enough to cover. And I was wondering what your opinion would be on him getting the vaccine. He's otherwise healthy. Would you consider what he has, having that procedure be done? Would you consider him having an underlying health condition or a comorbidity? Because I've heard you speak about that before, that that's the only people that it might benefit. And we've been standing our ground so far for right now, and I figured, let me ask the expert.
Well, there's certainly a lot of information there, Dr. McCullough.
Well, I can tell you as a cardiologist, you know, I pay attention to the FDA warning. The FDA warns against vaccinating young men and causing myocarditis. The FDA says that Pfizer and Moderna cause myocarditis. Who wouldn't listen to that warning? What good doctor wouldn't listen to the warning? Now you take transposition of the great vessels. the vulnerability there is the right ventricle. The right ventricle has had a period of time where it struggled with the pulmonic valve and the different communications in tetralogy of flow. Even after it's repaired, the right ventricle is at risk. So if myocarditis does happen, it affects both the left ventricle and the right ventricle, and your child would be at risk of serious heart failure, right ventricular heart failure with myocarditis. I don't allow any of my patients with congenital heart disease to go forward with vaccination without understanding these risks. The vast majority of parents and patients say, listen, I'll skip it, and we'll easily treat COVID-19 if it comes up.
Well, Dr. McCullough, I just want you to know, if you're really, really nice to me, I will send you a copy of my EKG showing the very rare Brugada syndrome with right bundle branch blockage. And you can actually frame it and put it in your office if you'd like.
Tom, I'll check that out with my wife. I'm not going to be able to pass that up.
All right, doctor, thank you very much. We'll talk soon. Dr. Peter McCullough, born at Kenmore Mercy Hospital. He knows Buffalo. He misses Anderson's, but he's in Dallas, Texas. We have a lot more coming up the next hour of the program. You're just stuck with me, but I've got some good topics coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, so that should carry my voice through. And the more, let's put it this way, the more calls I get from you guys in the hour ahead, the less you have to listen to me drone and croak with the voice. And just an update in case you didn't hear it earlier. It's a pretty nasty staph infection of my sinuses. I've been on horse pill antibiotics now for over a week. I'm taking Tuesday off. They're going to scope it again and see if the antibiotics have done anything to ameliorate the situation. But as far as my throat, there's nothing organically wrong with my throat. There's no tear, no polyp, no tumor. It's just apparently caused by the drip of staph bacteria. How wonderful. More information than you wanted to have. But, you know, I just as soon tell you guys what's going on than have you wondering. I'm not Michael Douglas or Val Kilmer. I'll tell you everything you got to know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.